till I sat down and understood the truth. My vote matters cause somebody doesn't want me to. The bigots win when they keep me out the voting booth. That in itself is a revolutionary move.
Seven heads and ten horns of rain fire. Infiltrate and take down your empire. A fallen Babylon, not so sure that I'll be mad, it's gone, what you inspire? Seven heads and ten horns of rain fire. Infiltrate and take down your empire. A fallen Babylon, not so sure that I'll be mad, it's gone, what you inspire? Give me your poor, your huddle masses. Peep how we shrink the middle classes. Lay out a task on a fam, wouldn't bother to ask. Your ass, I never passed this. Your future's under the boot heels. 1% of populace makes deals. No intent to stop, give and break heel. They don't need permission to take. Gotta hate the fact that your fate sealed. If you keep subscribing to their deal, best you get a chance to survive. No living, I've never seen a request feel. Most will even fail to suggest beauty rest. Why your fellow man gets killed, the rich build. Right on the backs and the weights growing under the fat. You want to...
This is
KBOO Portland.
Okay.
The time is 11 p.m., and you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
You ever done this before?
With a man in a uniform? No.
I meant in a car.
Yeah?
I mean while it's moving.
A few times, have you?
No, not while driving.
Really? We can wait for a place to pull over.
No, this is fine. The danger adds to the thrill. I'm not one to live a life without thrills.
No, me neither.
She glances out at the darkening woods and then down at the man's lap. He has one hand on the wheel and the other on her upper leg. Less than 2 hours ago, she had stood at the side of the road alone with her thumb out.
You were cold and feeling hopeless as you tried to thumb a ride from the narrow shoulder of the two-lane state highway. Not many cars passed by. Then he pulled over in a late model Buick.
You want a ride?
Thanks.
Get in.
Hesitantly, you climb into the car and drop your backpack on the floor beside your feet. He steps on the gas.
Where are you headed?
Anywhere closer to civilization?
I think I know that place. I'm headed there too. Not many people pass this way.
So I noticed.
Are you from around here?
No, just passing through.
Say, you didn't escape from the prison near here.
No, I escaped a boyfriend who became too much of a jerk. There's a prison near here?
Big CCA facility back there?
That's why you were wearing that uniform.
Uh-huh.
I almost thought you were a cop at first.
No, not a cop. You don't like cops?
Not as long as I don't have to deal with them. You like working there? At the prison?
Fuck no. They make you piss in a cup. But I just started my vacation, so fuck those rules.
I gotta join if that would help.
That would be a great start. Fire her up.
That's what I don't have. The boyfriend took the lighter from me. I don't want to rub two sticks together.
That's no problem. I got a lighter in the glove.
She opens the glove compartment, and her eyes go wide.
That and a whole lot more.
Help yourself to the Jim Beam. Just don't touch the gun. What is your name, mysterious girl in the middle of nowhere?
Henna. How about you, man in a uniform?
You can call me Stan. Stan with a plan. You sure you aren't from Woodford?
From where?
Woodford Correctional. If you are, Henna, I don't care. I'm off the clock and my vacation has just begun.
You glance over at the girl as she lights up the joint. You appraise the curves beneath faded jean cutoffs and a punk t-shirt. Her face, smudged with dirt, doesn't make her any less attractive.
She passes him the joint. He takes it, eyeing her as she eyes him. Then he hits it as he continues to drive. And then again. And then he passes it back to her.
His face isn't exactly handsome. There's a feral quality in his eyes when he rakes them over you before he snaps back to the road. The AC feels nice on the skin of your arms and legs, and you settle back in the seat.
Why don't you pass me that bottle? And help yourself, too.
Sure thing, Stan. I will.
So, your boyfriend ditched you?
Yeah, or we ditched each other. A mutual ditching. But he had the car.
And the lighter. Asshole thing for him to do. Leave a pretty girl like you out here alone. Middle of nowhere.
The road winds past forests and farms and along the sides of mountains. 23 miles later, they stop for gas. 46 miles after that, she's on her knees on the seat, unzipping his fly while he continues to drive.
Slow down, you're driving too fast.
The life without thrills is not a life worth living.
What are you doing? Keep your eyes on the road. And slow down.
And you put your mouth on it, Henna. Yeah, that feels good.
You grab her hair in the back of her neck and pull her down on your groin. How long has it been since you've had a woman? You don't want to think of the years.
My vacation has definitely started out the right way. That's right. Yeah, suck on it, baby. Oh, fuck!
Up next, Ubu Hour presents Head Crash, Part 2 of Hitchhike Hussie. This lurid radio series is based on the title of a classic pulp novel from 1959.
Please be warned, the following program contains strong language and situations. Listener discretion is advised.
Too late for that.
Yeah, right. I know.
It's half an hour before midnight and 7 hours after the car collision. She's in another car. A sheriff's deputy is behind the wheel. She's in the front seat next to him, with his large overcoat draped over her.
Second time today, you think, to get a ride with a man in a uniform. Hopefully, it won't end so badly. He looks over you as he drives.
Bad car crash. You're lucky to be alive. Was Thompson driving?
Stan? Yes.
And there was no one else in the car?
No one else. Just me and him.
You want to tell me again what happened?
It's a long story.
We've got a long drive ahead of us, so fill me in. Your t-shirt getting ripped like that didn't happen in the car collision, did it?
No, that happened later. You want the whole story?
Sure.
You think you can handle it?
Believe me, as a deputy, I see a lot of weird shit.
I bet you haven't seen anything like what happened to me tonight.
You might be right about that. That was some pretty crazy shit back there.
And that's the least of it.
You gonna tell me what happened?
I'll get to it. You know, this guy told me I had loose morals. This guy who picked me up earlier this morning?
You were hitchhiking.
All the way to the coast. Anyway, he picks me up, and hours later, he kicks me out of his car. Told me I had loose morals. Left me in the middle of nowhere. That's how my day started today.
Loose morals? Why would he say that?
Probably because it's true. But what's wrong with that? It's not like being immoral. Loose morals implies that one at least has some morals?
Yeah, I guess so. Not that I would pass that judgment on anyone.
And it's better than having rigid, tight morals. Inflexible, unbending, uncompromising, judgmental. He thought he was moral. Leaving me on a road in the middle of nowhere. This was before Stan picked me up.
I see what you mean. But what has that got to do with anything? You going to tell me this crazy story of what happened to you tonight?
Sure thing. I'll tell you everything. We'd been driving for some time, me and Stan. And we got to know each other a little, and we were getting kind of, you know.
Oh, you're awesome, babe. God, that feels good. My vacation has definitely started the right way.
Slow down, Stan. Keep your eyes on the road.
That's it. Yeah. Suck on it, baby. Oh, fuck!
You awake in cramped quarters. Pain flashes through your shoulder. A large bloody piece of gristle in your mouth chokes you. You spit it out on the floor near his feet.
Yuck! What the fuck was that?
You pull yourself out from beneath the man as memory sinks back into your head. The sudden head-on approach of the other car as seen through the steering wheel.
In the seat next to her, the man's head is embedded in the spiderweb of shattered windshield, splattered with blood. More blood in his lap.
Stan? Are you okay? Stan?
Nothing. The taste of blood in her mouth. She pulls herself out of the wrecked vehicle, grabs her backpack, and spits the taste out of her mouth.
You look at yourself in the remaining shards of the side view mirror. You almost don't recognize yourself. Then you look back into the car.
Stan? Are you okay, Stan?
You glance around. Another car, the front end totaled, is across the road, 24 yards away. You stumble towards it. The door is open.
Hello? Is there anyone there? Hello? Can you hear me?
She reaches the car. No one inside, but there's blood on the seat and the steering column. She glances up and down the road. 200 feet away is an old pickup truck.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? Anyone there?
She stumbles towards the pickup truck. The driver's door is open. No one inside, but the keys are still in the ignition.
Where the fuck is everyone? Hello? Where are you? Can anyone hear me? Hello? Fuck, anyone there?
She walks back toward the cars. She looks again inside the other car, a small, older model Subaru station wagon.
Where the fuck did everyone go? This is weird.
On the ground below the door, you notice more blood. A thin trail of blood that leads over to the side of the road and into the dark thicket of woods.
Hello? Is anyone out there? Hello? Hello?
She pulls a penlight out of her pack and shines it on the ground. She steps off the road and finds more blood on the floor of the woods. She steps deeper into the darkness beneath the canopy of trees following the trail.
You think to yourself, why would someone hurt in a car wreck crawl into the woods like this? Like a wounded animal, like a hurt cat.
Then she hears a sound and freezes.
A few steps further, pointing the penlight at the noise, she spots movement in the dark. It takes several seconds before the realization of what she's seen sinks in.
A naked body with a bloody head is bent over a log, and a brute of a man is on top of it, his pants at his ankles, his twisted face racked in pleasure.
You drop the light. You stifle a scream as the world suddenly drops away in front of you at the horror that crawls through every fiber of your body.
The brute becomes aware of another presence. He looks over at her with a flinch of surprise, pulls himself out and off the corpse. He stoops down to grab for his pants as he stares at her with gleaming eyes.
Hey! You! Come here, you!
She stands and stares in shock, wide-eyed with fear. Then she grabs the light off the ground and turns and flees. She hears him crash in the brush behind her in pursuit.
He's a big man, in mud-stiff rags, with a bald, bullet-shaped head and almost no neck. His eyes fixed on the girl, he chases her like a frenzied beast, a grimace on his face.
You stumble frantically through the brush, whipped by the branches and brambles, and then you reach the road. You glance behind to see that he's gaining on you. You run towards Stan's car.
Stan! Help!
You! Girl! Come back here!
She reaches the open door on the passenger side. The man barrels across the road towards her. The glove compartment has popped open in the crash.
The gun is not there. Stan is still unconscious or dead in the driver's seat. A panic thunders in your veins.
Fuck! Stan, help me!
No time to try to shake him awake. You glance around as the man pounds towards you. Then you see the gun on the floor of the car, where it fell in the crash. You grab for it as the man reaches you.
Her fingers curl around the grip and trigger. She pulls the gun up and spins and aims and pulls the trigger at the man at point-blank range.
Nothing. The trigger is locked. The man looks down at you with contempt and smacks the gun out of your hand. The weapon clatters to the pavement a dozen feet away.
The man towers above her, the sour stench of his sweat thick in the air. He leers at her, eyeing her up and down.
Why you not listen to me? Why you try run away?
Please, just let me go. Please, I beg you, I beg you.
If I know there's someone alive, the other one he did already. I did not kill him. I hope you don't think I killed him. Me not kill him, but you look real nice. I not hurt you if you make sex with me.
The man rubs at the thick bulge at his groin as he speaks to her. His other hand is at his side, ready to grab her. He starts to unzip his fly.
You make sex with me? Or you go try to run away, huh? Why you don't talk? Why you don't talk to me?
You stare up at him. You suck in your breath. And then you dive low, beneath his arm, as you smack at his now exposed penis with your elbow.
Oh, you bitch! Oh, no!
She runs past him as he tries to grab her.
You fucking bitch! I tried to talk to you when you do that to me! If that's the way you want it, there's nowhere to run. I catch you. Sooner or later, I catch you.
The brute glances around. The girl races as hard as she can down the road. He rubs his hands together for a second, and then he takes chase.
You remember the pickup truck. Keys in the ignition. You pump your arms and legs as hard as you can.
No. You'll not touch my truck. Fuck!
As she races for the truck, the man gets alarmed and picks up speed. She leaps into the truck, slams shut the door, and punches down the lock.
Fuck! Get out of my fucking truck! My truck!
You gun the engine to life as he pounds on the door. You shift into reverse and take off in a squeal of tires on tar. Step on the brakes and screech to a halt. The brute is 40 yards away. Hunched over, he approaches slowly.
Fucking bastard!
Get out of my fucking truck!
She guns the engine, shifts forward and aims at the brute. He slams off the side of the car and flies across the road.
Fuck this! Don't look back! Just keep driving!
Out the rear view, he lies in the road. Maybe he's dead, but you are too scared to go back and make sure. Then he's gone, and you round one curve and then another. You leave him further and further behind.
She doesn't know how far she's driven, maybe a half dozen miles. The road twists along mountainous slopes. She sees the lights of a house way up a hill to her left as dusk settles early in the wilderness.
A rutted dirt road. She brakes and pulls into it. The truck bounces over potholes. She sees the lights from the house again. She pulls to a stop 200 yards from the house.
You spot the house through the trees. You shift into park. Pocket the keys and step out of the truck with your backpack. You take a deep breath. You start to walk towards the house.
Hey, wait there, halt!
A man leaps out from behind a shed with a double-barrel shotgun aimed at the intruder. She freezes in her tracks.
Sir. Wade, what's going on out there?
An accident, you say?
Yes, a car crash. I need help. A man back there.
You shouldn't be out here alone, especially not tonight. There's a dangerous criminal on the loose.
I know. I saw him back there. He attacked me.
He's near here? Where'd you see him?
About 5 miles back, I think.
Hey, it's Hatchback.
Listen to me. He broke out of Woodford Correctional earlier today. It hasn't been made public yet, but one of the guards radioed me. I used to work there. I retired 4 months ago.
We need to call the police.
You better come inside. Not safe out here.
Wait! What are you doing out there?
You stay out here for a moment. Let me talk to the wife.
He walks up the steps and enters the cabin. She stands at the foot of the stairs and looks around. The cabin is large but run down. The porch sags. The yard is littered with rusted vehicles and tools and metal barrels.
Why didn't you answer me, Wade? Where's Satch?
Listen, Maddie. He's not back yet.
Not back yet? Dear Lord, it's not safe out there with that escaped criminal on the loose.
There's someone outside. They need help.
Someone outside? Who's outside?
A girl.
A girl? What girl?
She's been in a car crash down the road a bit.
That's what she told you? What does she want?
Can I let her inside? She needs help.
Why can't she go to the Trimbles?
The Trimbles' place is 20 miles away. With the escaped convict out there, that girl's not safe.
I don't see why she has to be our problem, Wade. My God, why do we have to take on everything?
We can't just leave her out there with that criminal on the loose. Not safe at all out there.
Well, if you insist, Wade, where is she?
Outside, on the steps, I think.
On the steps?
Unless she's going away. Let me get her.
The man steps back out on the porch. Beckons to the girl who stands at the bottom of the steps.
You want to come in?
You sure it's okay?
You can't stay out here. You come inside.
You follow the man into a large room, a kitchen to one side, with a blackened kettle on a potbelly stove. To the other side is the old woman in a wheelchair. Her eyes are steely as she stares at you.
What's your name?
Hannah.
I'm Maddie, and that's my husband, Wade. You need to pardon our manners. We don't get many visitors in these parts. What's that picture on your t-shirt?
An A with a circle around it?
That's the anarchist sign, isn't it?
It doesn't look very nice. Anarchist sounds too much like Antichrist. We're a good Christian household.
The woman in the wheelchair fingers a gold cross on a chain around her neck as she glares at the t-shirt, the cutoffs, and then at the tattoo on the girl's leg.
We received word an hour ago that a convict had escaped from the prison earlier, and our son's not home yet.
Listen, Maddie, it seems this girl here may have met up with a convict back 5 miles up the road.
The convict is near here?
He tried to attack her after he ran into her car. She escaped and drove here. Ain't that right, girl?
Something like that. Can I use your phone to call the police?
Wade will believe anything that comes out of a young, pretty mouth. You want something to eat? You're so skinny one can see the bones.
No, I need to call the police.
We don't have a phone. The lines don't go out this far. We got a radio that Wade can talk to the prison.
We need to wait for it to recharge. An hour or so.
You sure you don't want no stew?
Any hunger you have is quickly lost when you look over at the filth-encrusted stove.
No, but I could use the bathroom.
That way, through the door. Down the hall and on the left.
I can show you where it is.
No, Wade. She can find it herself. I need to talk to you, Wade.
What is it, Maddie?
Just like you to bring this tramp into our good home.
What choice did I have?
You don't get any ideas with that girl.
I'm just trying to help out Maddie.
Well, I don't like her here, and I don't like the way you oogle at her. She looks like a bad girl.
I didn't ogle at her. She got attacked by that escapee.
So she says. For all we know, she might be his girlfriend. I don't trust you, and I don't trust her. I see how she wiggles her body at you. And poor Satch out there with that violent maniac on the loose.
Worry never solved anything.
But he's our only child, Wade. He should be home now. I want him here with me. God help me.
You want me to go out and look for him?
And leave me here alone with that strumpet?
I can bring her with me. Look for Satch and take her into the sheriff. Kill two birds, like they say.
You'd like that, wouldn't you, to get her all alone? When Satch gets home, he can bring her to the sheriff.
You sure that's a good idea, Maddie?
Of course it's a good idea. Satch could use a girlfriend, and that girl looks like she needs a man to put her in her place. If we let Satch... Oh, hello there, dearie.
The woman in the wheelchair notices the girl enter the room. The woman smiles and gestures towards the kitchen.
Are you sure you don't want something to eat?
No, thank you.
And you think to yourself, how long will I have to wait here? What if their son doesn't return? What if he's one of the victims in the car accident? You want to leave, and yet you fear the mad brute somewhere out there.
The man stands at the door with his gun, his back to the room. Minutes later, he sets the gun down on a chair.
Satch is here. He's at the bottom of the driveway.
Oh, Lord, what a relief he's back.
Satch! Where you been?
Accident! On the road!
A convict escaped from Woodford. Your mother's been worried sick about you.
Someone escaped from the prison?
Thank the Lord Jesus, he's safe. I made his favorite stew.
You didn't run across the escaped convict, did you?
No, but I had to run here. Some bitch stole my truck.
Come in here, Satch. I'm so glad you're safe.
We have a visitor, so mind your language, boy.
The man steps away from the door as his son stomps into the room. The son freezes as his eyes affix on the girl.
Satch, there's a girl in here for you to meet.
That's him! He tried to attack me!
You stole my truck! She's a thief and a liar!
Now everybody calm down here. Satch, I see your truck out there, so no one stole your truck. As for you...
He was raping a corpse! He tried to attack me! He's a monster!
Lord Jesus, I cannot believe the filth that spews from this girl's mouth, vile creature.
I did not kill no one. It was a car wreck!
He was sodomizing a corpse! I saw him!
You whore! She saws her home with her twisted mouth. You wicked, wicked whore!
Be quiet, all of you! Everyone, shut up! Shut up! Now, Satch, you weren't up to nothing out there you weren't supposed to do, huh? Were you?
No, nothing like that, Pa. I did not hurt no one. He was dead already when I find him.
Damn it, whose side are you on, Wade? How can you let her get away with this? How can you defend this lying harlot?
You've gone far too easy on that boy, Maddie. Don't think I know what goes on when I'm not here.
He attacked me! I know what I saw! He was raping a dead person!
No one says things like that about my only son. Not in this house, you vile, wicked little hussy of Satan.
I didn't do none of that. She stole my truck, and then she near run me over. She tried to kill me.
I am so sick of you coddling that boy, Maddie. Letting him get away with all sorts
of... Lord God, my ears, to hear my own husband defend the vile whore against our son. Wade, whose side are you on?
I'm not defending nobody. I just want Satch to tell me if he was doing anything to a dead person.
This witch poisoned your mind against our only son. As for you, you treacherous she-demon.
Her glassy eyes on the girl, the enraged woman pushes herself off the wheelchair as she grabs a cane from the table. Clutching at the chair, she swings at the girl. The girl leaps away as the cane smacks down hard.
You horrid hell-spawned seed of Satan!
She comes at you again and swings. But then she loses her balance and crashes to the floor.
Oh, help! Help me, Jesus!
Ma! Ma, you okay? What you do to my mom?
Help me, Satchel! Don't let her get away with this!
I didn't do anything! She tried to cane me!
Do something, Satch! She hurt me! She's evil! Hit her! Satch, save me!
No one messes with my mom!
Listen, boy, you get away from that girl.
I'm gonna smack you to the ground like you did my ma.
That's a good boy. Do it for me, Satch. Do it for your mother. Smack her to the ground.
I told you, boy, let go of that there girl.
Get off of me!
The girl struggles to get loose from Satch's big hand on her upper arm. He cocks back his other arm, his hand clenched in a fist. His eyes wet with tears as his mother lies on the floor 10 feet away.
Smack her right in the face. Smack her, Satch.
The gunstock slams hard against the side of the big man's head with a groan of pain. He falls on the floor. He grabs at his bloody face as his father swings again at him. You scramble out from under a chair that has fallen on you.
You bastard, Wade, you treacherous bastard.
The crippled woman glares up at her husband with pure venom. He glares back at her with equal venom.
Go ahead and do it, Wade. Shoot me. You know you want to do it. Kill me because you already done it with your betrayal. You might as well finish the job.
He looks at the rifle in his hands and then back at his wife on the floor. Then he reaches a hand to the girl on the floor below.
Come on, you. Get up. Let's get you out of here. Let's get out of this madhouse.
Wade, don't do this, Wade. How can you do this to me? A poor, crippled Christian woman. How can you, Wade?
I knew it had come to this. She lets that kid get away with murder. Literally murder. I should have left the both of them a long time ago.
Outside, they reach the pickup truck. The man pulls out a set of keys. Then they're in the cab. The man pulls the truck around and starts back down the drive.
Get you to a safe place. Out here, not safe at all.
Thank you. Thanks for helping me.
You're safe with me. We'll get into town. Talk to the sheriff. Not safe for you to be out here alone.
She lies back on the seat as the old man continues to drive. The dark woods flow past on either side of the road. The old man looks over at her, and then back at the stab of headlights on the dirt ahead.
You open your eyes. You are on another dirt road. He must have turned off on it before the main road. How long have we been on this road? A ping of alarm inside your gut.
What's going on?
What do you mean?
Why are you pulling over?
I thought maybe we'd get better acquainted.
We need to get to the sheriff.
We don't need the sheriff. You're safe with me.
What are you... Get your hands off me!
You want to play easy, or you want to play hard to get?
I want to go to town!
There's no one or nothing for 20 miles around. You step out of this car, you die in these woods, and no one might find you in a dozen years. Except maybe Satch.
Just take me to the fucking town!
The town's a long ways away. You do what I want, then I take you into town. Only right after I saved your ass back there. That's the deal.
Fuck you, asshole!
She opens the door and jumps down. The slope on either side of the road is too steep to climb and overgrown with thick brush.
She's a little spitfire, you think to yourself, as you pull the keys out of the ignition and pocket them. You know the type of girl she is. They pretend they don't want it, but they do.
The old man gets out from the other side and lumbers around to her side of the truck.
Let's get back in that truck. Unless you want to do it out here. Is that what you want?
He grabs for her breast. She knees him hard in the groin.
Oh, fuck!
Then she leaps back up into the truck, slams the door behind her, and hits the lock. She still has the other set of keys, and she slides behind the wheel and jams the key into the ignition.
Fuck you!
You accelerate forward, hitting the old man as he comes around the side. In the rear view, he scrambles back onto his feet and pulls out a large handgun from a holster beneath his jacket.
The first blast obliterates the window behind her. The spray of glass on the back of her neck and shoulders. The truck vanishes around the bend, and the man shambles after it with gun in hand.
As he limps around the bend, he sees the truck is too far away to get another shot. She steps down on the gas. The truck clanks and bounces on the pitted road.
The dirt road seems to twist forever through the dark woods. The headlights feeble against the dark. You begin to think it will end in the middle of nowhere. Then you see a flicker of light down below through the trees.
The woods fall away. Below on the slope in front of her are the lit windows of a house. She breaks. Climbs out of the truck and runs towards the door.
Hello? Is anyone home? Hello?
A pair of concrete steps leads up to the door, which is slightly ajar.
Hello?
She pushes the door open. A big hand grabs her and pulls her inside.
So you came back, did you? After you left Wade to rot somewhere up in those hills?
You're stunned to realize you have returned back to the house, but from the rear. The brute, Satch, has you in his big, rough hands. The woman in the wheelchair is a dozen feet away, with a rifle in her lap.
Look, Ma! The girl, she come back! I stole her away, but now she come back.
Yeah, and she needs to pay for lying about you.
She look real nice. And now I have her.
He rubs his other hand on your mouth and throat as you grit your teeth and suppress the urge to scream.
You want to make sex with her, Satch?
Can I, Ma? She look nice. Can I make sex with her?
Rip off her shirt, Satch. Rip off those skimpy clothes.
With a violent jerk, he rips open her t-shirt and rips off the bra. Then he grabs her naked breasts in one large hand while he holds her down on the couch.
Don't she look nice, Ma?
Does she look more nice than me?
No, Ma. No one look nice as you. That's why I love you.
You love me more than her.
Yes, Ma. I don't love her. I love you.
And she owes you big time.
Can I, Ma? And you can watch. Can I make sex with her?
You do it, boy. Show her what you got. Give it to her, big boy. Show her what you're made of. You're a big, strong man, Satch.
She's a wriggly one, Ma. Like one of them fishes when we get them in the boat.
Are you going to let your son rape me?
You had a lot of nerve talking to me like that after the horror you brought to this family.
She a bad girl. Isn't that right, Ma?
That's right. Bring her here.
The woman in the wheelchair points with the gun to the floor, several feet in front of her.
Bring her here, boy. On the floor in front of me. You make sex with her and I will watch. Do it for me, boy.
You watch, Ma. She don't stop wriggling. She a real live one.
Oh, you're both sick.
But what can you do? Miles and miles from the nearest neighbor. The big man pins you to the floor. The woman rubs herself as she stares glassy-eyed at her son. A sense of sickness curdles your mind, numbs your head.
You do it, boy. Pull it out and show her what you got. Give it to her. Do it to her.
You watch me, Ma. Watch me make sex with her.
Push her to the floor and fornicate her. Give it to her.
What the fuck? is going on here? Satch, get the fuck off her! Maddie, what in the hell were you?
The man stares down at his wife's fingers and her lap with utter shock. Limping painfully, he had run the shortcut trail through the woods, but now his exhaustion and pain burned away at the images branded in front of his eyes.
I hate you, Wade. I thought she killed you.
Stop pointing that gun at me, Maddie. Pointing a gun at someone can lead to someone getting hurt. Satch, get off that!
Shoot me! Shoot me, Ma!
The brute clutches at his chest where blood leaks through his fingers. The old man is on the floor with half the side of his head blown away. The old woman waves her gun.
No, Satch, my son! My only son! Why did you kill my only son? No!
Ma! Ma, help me, Ma! I've been shot!
The brute crawls towards the wheelchair, leaving a thick trail of blood. The old woman pulls his face to her lap as her icy eyes fix on the girl, half naked on the floor.
You pull yourself up. The woman stares hate into you as she tries with one hand to aim the rifle at you while she pets the large bald head in her lap. You back away slow, until the couch on the back of your leg stops you.
You murdered my son. You killed all my kin.
You're crazy. Your husband shot him.
You brought evil to this house. You killed everyone I hold dear. You destroyed my life and the lives of all my family, you hideous, hideous creature.
What the fuck? I've seen a lot of fucked up bullshit in my life, but you, ma'am, take the fucking cake.
Now it's your turn to die. Your turn to be penetrated by bullets. You will pay for your evil.
She shoots at the girl's head with an unsteady one-armed aim. The bullet whizzes past the girl's scalp, close enough to singe hair, and clangs off a kitchen pot, then ricochets back and hits Satch in the back of the head.
Satch's body jerks at the impact, and then slumps. Blood spurts out of his head.
Die, you spawn of hell! Die, you harlot of Satan! Die!
Looks like you already shot your load.
And you would hurt a poor, crippled Christian woman, wouldn't you? I can see right past those big Cupid doll eyes into the evil of your soul. Such is our cruel, cruel world. Lord Jesus, save me, save me.
The old woman looks over at the old man lying next to his gun. Then she looks back at you with her insane eyes and pinched face. All at once, she pushes her boy away and wheels rapidly towards the gun.
Oh, no, you don't!
The girl grabs the empty rifle off the ground and races after the woman in the wheelchair.
A room can seem so large and so small at the same time, when that time slows down with the rush of adrenaline. As she approaches the man, you catch up to the wheelchair and ram the gun barrel into the right wheel.
The wheel locks up and the chair collapses sideways and throws the woman to the floor. Her body quivers and shakes as she looks up at the girl with sheer hate while fingering her gold cross. Then she breaks into a sob.
Please help me, please. I'm all alone. I don't have anyone. Please don't hurt me. Have mercy.
I could take that boiling pot of chili and slam it all over your head. I could reload that rifle and shoot you a dozen times.
Please save me, Lord. Please save me, God Jesus. Please help me. I'm all alone. This can't happen to a good Christian. I'm a poor cripple.
I could kill you and then arrange you and the brute in a compromising position so that when the authorities barge in here, they know exactly what sort of person you are.
No, no, please don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Someone help me, please. Help me.
And you would probably deserve any and all of that. But you know what? Who am I to judge?
Then she's back in the pickup truck, headed down the drive. She follows the road back past the turnoff to the main road. In what seems like no time at all in her numb state, she returns to where the cars collided.
The sheriffs of three counties have converged on the wrecked vehicles, along with CCA officials from Woodford Correctional Facility. Stan, looking pale, is in the back of one of those cars.
That's the whole story. I walked around until I found someone who looked pretty nice and wasn't wearing a wedding band.
That would be me, I guess. That is some story. Whoa! That was some fucking story, I'll have to admit.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't even know that Stan Thompson was the escapee?
Stan? He was okay with me. I should have known. He seemed too nice to be...
a man in a uniform.
A prison guard.
He wasn't nice at all. He impersonated a guard and waltzed right out. Stole a guard's car and drove away. It took them a while to discover him missing because the guard was drugged asleep in his bed and in his clothes.
That is something, isn't it? Stan, the man with a plan.
You've been through way too much, girl. What a night.
You're telling me.
And then she puts her head on his shoulder as he continues to drive. He puts his free hand around her waist. The stars glimmer in the dark sky.
Up ahead on the horizon is the glow of a distant town. The road will soon lead there, to the town and a bed in a small house where he lives alone. You don't quite remember his name.
You've just heard the audio drama Head Crash. Head Crash is part two of the radio theater series Hitchhike Hussy, titled after the 1959 pulp novel by John B. Thompson and Jack Woodford.
The proceeding was written and directed by Rolf Semprebon and performed by...
Demi Hellenius.
Quentin Tarantino.
Billy.
Larry.
David.
Sean.
Becky Myers.
Ivan Thought Enough.
Noah Sexual.
To listen to part one or to hear this again, go to kboo.fm and search for the Ubu Hour. And keep tuned for future adventures of the Hitchhike Hussy.
Hey, this one doesn't shut down.
Not again.
Get out of here, that's all.
Colin, please.
You have my word.
Oh, shit.
Come on. I just want to get out of here, that's all.
Colin, please.
You have my word.
Oh,
come
shit.
On. I just want to get out of here, that's all.
Colin, please.
You have my word. Come on. I just want to get out of here, that's all.
Oh, shit.
Come on. I just want to get out of here, that's all. Come on. I just want to get out of here, that's all.
Oh.
of here, that's all.
Are you okay? Hello?
Get out of here, that's all.
Hello?
Just want to get out of here, that's all.
My phone doesn't work. I can't call for help. Are you hurt?
I just want to get out of here, that's all.
This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month. But have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
And if you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
And we'll see you next month when the Ubu Hour brings you the thrilling audio drama.
Are you okay?
I just want to get out of here, that's all.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your car, truck, motorcycle, ATV, motorhome, trailer, boat, helicopter, submarine, or other type of vehicle. We'll transform your vehicle into resources for unserved and undeserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for all of KBOO's listeners. Donating your vehicle is easy. All you need to do is call our toll-free number and schedule a free, convenient pickup time. We can pick up your car. We can pick your car up nearly anywhere, even from the repair shop. Make sure you have the title to your vehicle. The tow facility will provide you with a donation receipt. For more information, call our toll-free number, 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123, or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle, V-E-H-I-C-L-E.
Tune into KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight, as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs with a feminist focus, and female DJs playing all kinds of music to celebrate the creativity, variety, and zeal of the women of the world. Again, that's Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
What happens when Oz and Wonderland collide in a twisted brain of a mad composer? A freaking musical, of course. KBOO is proud to present Nick T. Devlin's new musical, Alice Trippin' Sixes. It's a strange and unusual music odyssey. Flying monkeys, scarecrows, jokers, and even midday tokers. Oh, this ain't your normal musical, man. It's a far-out psychedelic trip into the mind of the mad. This is going to be one wild and crazy musical event. Alice, Trippin' Sixes, Thursday, March 31st at 10 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. What happens when Oz and Wonderland collide in a twisted brain of a mad composer? A freaking musical, of course. KBOO is proud to present Nick T. Devlin's new musical.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
I'm Dr. Demento. This is KBOO Portland, and you are now in the control of the Union of Time Thieves.